Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Matt Heffron, who's an attorney with Thomas More Society, and he is representing David DeLeiden. And we're going to get an update on David DeLeiden, who was the young man, or is the young man, who produced those investigative undercover videos about Planned Parenthood trafficking baby body parts, and now he's in trouble. His home was raided just last week. Matt, thank you for joining us on the program. Tell us what happened to David DeLeiden.
Sure. It was last Tuesday, and he was at his home, actually coming back to his home, when he was surprised by some agents of the California Department of Justice who were there to serve a search warrant and to search his entire home for various things. The basis of the search warrant was, even if proved, were extremely menial crimes. One was amounts to a fake driver's license that he used when he went undercover, and the other is undercover recordings that he made in California. And I can tell you from experience as a former federal prosecutor in Arizona that this sort of thing just doesn't happen. You don't go in with a search warrant for such menial reasons. And so they took his computer, his laptop computer. They took hard drives. They took a lot of his evidence concerning Planned Parenthood's sale and trafficking in baby body parts. And they've taken it off now to review them and consider whether or not they want to press charges against David DeLeiden. I guess, in other words, this is a case of government oppression, if you will. This is a matter of the pro-abortion, vehemently pro-abortion, Attorney General of the State of California using the power of her office to promote Planned Parenthood, basically. She is, even on her campaign website, she was requesting donations to help Planned Parenthood. And so it just the whole nature of this search, quite honestly, smells, and it smells very badly.
I saw a news item in lifenews.com where it said, since the news of the raid hit the mainstream media, information has surfaced about Harris's close connection to Planned Parenthood, Harris being that attorney general you just mentioned. The abortion group and its partners donated more than $81,000 to Harris's election campaigns, according to documents obtained by Operation Rescue.
Right.
That would almost seem like a conflict of interest, or at least it seems like...
That's what,
yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, after you.
Well, that's what was said on, of course, on Bill Riley's on O'Reilly's show the other night, and as well as on Hannity's show, that there's a real obvious conflict of interest here in the fact that this would happen. Another thing that you should know is that just 10 days before the search warrant, there was a scathing editorial printed in the L.A. Times by one Robin Apkarian, which complained that the Attorney General Kamala Harris had not done anything to go after David DeLeiden or the Center for Medical Progress. 10 days later, we have a search warrant being executed by the Attorney General of California, which, if nothing else, makes her look like she's a puppet on the string of the liberal L.A. Times.
Okay, right, we're talking right now with Matt Heffron of the Thomas More Society. You are representing David DeLeiden in this case?
I'm one of the attorneys. Yeah, there are a couple of attorneys in California and myself who will be representing David in two of the civil cases. And now it looks like we will also be having a potential criminal case against him as well in California.
Wow,
Jerry, if your listeners don't know what has happened since like July, perhaps I could inform them.
Absolutely, go ahead.
The legal attempts to squash David DeLeiden in the Center of Medical Progress.
Yeah, and before you do, let me just say this: if you don't like the message, shoot the messenger. But go ahead.
Okay, and. In July, David DeLeiden and the Center for Medical Progress began on a weekly basis distributing or posting the undercover interviews and undercover tapes that they had with members of Planned Parenthood and other abortion groups, National Abortion Federation, members and discussing whether or not they would be willing to pay for baby body parts and that sort of thing in the trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after that, there was a first lawsuit filed against David Lyden and the Center for Medical Progress, and that was in a San Francisco federal court. Another lawsuit was shortly after
Wait,
filed.
Do you mind if I ask you who filed that? Was that
the National Abortion Federation against Center for Medical Progress.
Okay, and as I understand, the National Abortion Federation has some conferences, and some of the filming was done, if that's the right word to use, some of the filming was done at those conferences. That's
correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Okay. Correct. All right, go on.
And then a second lawsuit was filed shortly thereafter in Los Angeles County in California State Court by STEM Express LLC, which was the company which in fact was at time was the middleman buying and selling these baby body parts.
Okay.
6 months later, when Planned Parenthood realized that the National Abortion Federation case in San Francisco was going forward, they filed their own federal court the lawsuit also in San Francisco. And then, of course, you've heard since the beginning of the year, David was indicted in Houston by a grand jury that allegedly was investigating Planned Parenthood, but then turned around and indicted him instead. And I can also tell you from my own experience with federal grand juries, that does not happen. That does not happen unless the person, the prosecutor in front of the grand jury, facilitates it and encourages it. So what you see is a now prolonged effort on several fronts by various parties aligned strongly with abortion to really squash what I would say is a brave and enterprising young man and his group, the Center for Medical Progress, which has gone undercover like any good undercover investigation and has revealed real damaging evidence against Planned Parenthood.
All right, so let me ask you a question. Is investigative journalism dead in America?
Well, it's only dead for certain parties.
Okay, so if your perspective is that it's liberal and you're going to expose something on the, you know, a conservative side or something, then it's fine. You can do all these things. But if you're a conservative and you're exposing, you know, horrific practices within the abortion industry, then it's illegal.
Well, I guess, you know, I don't want to quite jump that far, but that's
okay.
Obviously what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example here. In California, same place where Attorney General Kamala Harris came down so hard on David Lyden for doing undercover investigative work, there was a group called Mercy for Animals, and it's a pro-animal group, I guess similar to PETA. But they sent someone in to take undercover footage of a slaughterhouse where they said the slaughtering was done in a cruel and inhumane way. Later on, there was a prosecution brought on that. And I'll tell you what, I know that these people did not go in and identify themselves. They had an undercover tape going.
Yeah.
Not only did the Attorney General of California not prosecute these people, it's my understanding that she has come out publicly applauding them.
Mm.
What is the difference here? I mean, the irony here just can't be missed.
Right.
If you are trying to stop the slaughter of animals, fuzzy little animals, mm-hmm. then Kamala Harris and the liberal left will applaud you. If you're trying to stop the slaughter, the brutal slaughter and selling of baby parts, then Kamala Harris and the Department of Justice, as well as in Texas and other places, may well end up prosecuting you.
But
that's a difficult thing to stomach.
Absolutely. And there is a factor here that, you know, remember the old phrase from the old Watergate days, follow the money. But, I mean, there is lots and lots of money at stake here when it all comes in down, you know, and it's blood money, but it's still money is, I think, part of the issue.
And Jerry, it's your tax dollars and mine and all your listeners' tax dollars as well. Those dollars are going into the Planned Parenthood, and some of those dollars are coming back out to politicians like the Attorney General Kamala Harris of California.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That particularly is maddening. And then someone like the Attorney General of California will use her power to execute search warrants on 27-year-olds who have gone undercover to expose what they think is crime. and that is the crime of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. All right. So when
a tough time.
Yeah. Now, so going back to this Mercy for Animals video or whatever, they obviously somehow obtained that footage without permission, like you say, but because it's a politically correct objective, you know, then they get a free pass. What are the guidelines for anybody involved in investigative journalism? Are there some guidelines at all? Or?
There are guidelines. And in California, one of the difficulties that we're facing here is that there are statutes which say that if you record people, you need to have
permission,
consent by both parties. Now, obviously, there are exceptions for that, and there are exceptions when you are doing things like undercover journalism to expose corruption or to expose wrongdoing. You know darn well that 60 Minutes, when they go to do an undercover case, do not inform people in California, oh, by the way, we're surreptitiously recording you.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. They're allowed to get by without it. And, you know, they're all over the nation. This happens all the time. There was a case recently, in fact, a 60-minute case, in which they went undercover and went into the law firms of many prominent New York lawyers. Now, this is in New York, asking them to facilitate some corrupt foreign official who wanted to launder money. 60 Minutes did not get prosecuted for that. No one thought it was in the least bit wrong that they should not identify themselves as 60-minute reporters. They went undercover. That's what David Dalyden did here. And when all is said and done, that is what they are alleging that he has done wrong, the same sort of things that 60 Minutes and other undercover reporters do all the time.
Now, what rights does David have to fight back, for example, to get his computer back? I mean, if I lost my computer, I'd feel like I lost my right hand, at least for a week.
It would be tough, wouldn't it? And that's
yes.
Exactly what I'm sure people who did it knew would be tough for David as well. Well, there are a number of things you can do. You can file a motion in federal court. We call it a Rule 41G motion to get your materials back in a criminal court. They have a similar sort of provision in California state court. We are also will negotiate with the Attorney General to get those back as quickly as we can. We don't believe that they should have any right to look at they don't have any right to look at the materials at this point, because of course they know that there are all sorts of attorney-client conversations that will be found on David Dalyden's computer, because a lot is done, you know, as far as attorney-client advice is done on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone trying to search those computers will run into those attorney-client privilege, attorney-client communications, as well as other matters involved in the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it causes an enormous problem for the lawsuits that are already going on. I mean, we're in the middle of three other lawsuits, and now as we're looking at those cases, preparing for those cases, now suddenly David Dalyden, the center person in the controversy, now suddenly his materials are gone. Do you think that an attorney who is the Attorney General of the state of California would not know that?
Mm.
Of course they know that. So all they, you know, it's just another manner of making things difficult, to be quite honest with you.
Mm. Well, what are we left with? I mean, what can we do? I mean, we can pray for the guy and pray for your guys to succeed in defending him. But is there anything else we can do?
Well, you know, I don't make light in the least bit on prayer. That's an important part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I say that as an attorney. You don't usually hear that sort of thing from attorneys.
No, you don't.
But it's true, because we're fighting a tough fight here. We kind of enjoy the fight. There's a certain amount of
especially when you succeed. Yeah, especially when you succeed for righteousness.
Yeah, that makes it even better.
Sure.
In fact, when David got unjustly indicted in Houston, his response was, "Game on."
Wow.
I like that response.
Hmm.
You got to say, for a young guy,
a lot of guts.
That's a tremendous amount of courage and vigor to go after them like that.
Okay, we have like 30 seconds. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, the other thing obviously you can do, and which we really need, is help financially, because David can't support all of these lawyers that he's employing at this point without financial help from the outside. And likewise, those of us who are working on this case are doing so primarily on a volunteer basis. But you have to have some money to be able to support your own wife and kids. And so if you wish to contribute, we can certainly use this contribution to the Thomas More Society. That's thomasmoresociety.org. Mm-hmm. You can find us there in Chicago. Tom Brecka is the leader of that organization.
Matt, thank
Anything
you so much.
Yeah. It would certainly be helpful.
Okay. Matt Heffron with the Thomas More Society. Thanks so much, and God bless.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right. Bye-bye.